Hey, welcome to the Weed Out, where we weed out the nonsense and talk about the bullshit happening in our backyard. I'm Spencer Fox Peterson. Normally, this is where Joanna says hello, but this week, Joanna is feeling under the weather. So we're going at it with just our guests and me today. So I apologize for everybody not getting to hear Joanna's great questions and thoughtful critiques or add-ons. Joanna brings such great balance to the show, so I'm a little sad she's not with us today, but we'll troop on. It's that time of year. Unfortunately, COVID's raging. We don't think it's COVID, thankfully. I don't want to tell too much about what's going on in Joanna's physical life until she's ready, but I don't think it's COVID. But please, everybody at home, if you're listening, COVID surging. We're going to be hitting the second biggest peak in the next week. So this is being recorded on January 8th, the second week of January. Second week of January, we're anticipating, like, I think 2 million cases a day or something crazy. One of the worst waves since the start of the pandemic that's never ended. And the government isn't going to tell people what to, how to keep themselves safe. They seem to have abdicated that role. So, mask up. If you don't feel well, stay home. just don't give anybody else the flu, RSV, COVID, anything. I know it's hard, but we got to look out for each other in our own communities. So that's kind of the PSA for today's episode of the Weed Out. It's cold outside, and people are getting sick. So take care of yourself, take care of your neighborhood and your community. This week, though, I'm really excited. We're able to get the River Valley Party for Socialism and Liberation folks. So River Valley PSL for short, and that's probably how we'll refer to it going down the line. But I'll let them speak for themselves and tell us a little bit more about the PSL. But really excited to talk about some action coming up in the next couple of weeks. They wanted to advertise with y'all. We'll give you the contact information to get in touch with the River Valley PSL. Without further ado, I want to welcome Linnell and David to the Weed Out. Hi, guys. How are you today? I guess Linnell, you can go first, and David second.
Hey there. Thanks again, Spencer, for having us on. Again, my name is Linnell. I'm an organizer with the River Valley PSL. I've been with them for about a year and a half. And honestly, wildest and most fulfilling year and a half of my life. I said this a lot recently in the past couple months, but it's the first time in my life where I've looked back and past me is the furthest she's ever been. And kind of like what we were saying before, where being able to find your community, even if it's one to a handful of people, where you can feel safe and be able to engage in the world around you and not feel so isolated, it's been extremely gratifying. And to be able to finally take all that like pent up energy that I've had all my life, and put it outwards and in a way where it actually can help people has been such a blessing. But yeah, more information about the PSL. We are a nationwide party. Working class party by the working class, and we have branches all across the nation. Folks who are listening today might be a little more familiar with our Boston branch. If you aren't, check them out. They are wonderful and they do great work out there. And yeah, we're dedicated to building a fighting movement for the people. And yeah, I'll pass it on to my comrade David.
Thanks, Fennell. I'm David. I'm also an organizer with the PSL here in the River Valley. And like Linnell, I am looking back and I can't imagine not being organized with my comrades here in the Valley. I think that without the party, I just didn't have like any idea what social change looked like, how I could be a part of it. So today, I'm so happy to be involved in such a pivotal moment in politics in America in general, with what's happening right now, all the outrage surrounding Palestine. It's extremely exciting, and I look forward to what's in store for us here in 2024. On the PSL and what we are as an organization, Linnell kind of just summarized it really well. We're a working class party seeking to build a working class movement because we think that workers should be empowered.
Both, well, thank you both so much for coming on and sharing more information about PSL with our listeners. I'm a firm believer in organizing and coalition building and not building monoliths. So that's why we encourage participating in either a labor union or a political party like PSL or Workers' Party. Coalitions are strong. Building coalitions that overlap, it creates a really a network of things that can't be unbroken. And the workers of the world have all the power. Nothing happens without us. And it makes no sense to me when, I'm just be and even if we're gonna be stuck in a capitalist system, how does your capitalist consumer system not supposed to go forward if you don't have people buying consumer goods? Like they're not even doing their own goddamn system right. So like whether you're a capitalist or communist, I mean, you're probably not a capitalist, but because you don't own capital. Hi, everybody. If you're advocating for capitalism, you don't own any capital. Please stop doing that. But anyways, even if we stick with this system, the workers need to have more buying power, period. And we create all the wealth, like make it make sense that they're doing the opposite. So yeah, I mean, I think it's great that y'all are organizing and found each other. And then, Joanna and I, the Weed Out, found you. And we can share and get your message out. Maybe there's people that will resonate and there's crossover. Maybe there's people in the PSL that are doing similar jobs to them or come from a similar background or have had the same, I don't know, experiences with the criminal justice system, we'll call it. So Joanne and I are definitely more focused on abolition more than anything. But at the end of the day, that's just our hyper focus. Workers' empowerment and whether it's through political parties or labor unions, like holy shit, we need it. And so thank you very much for coming on to our platform because we're trying to get the word out. All these big players have, even in local, they got WWLP down in Springfield. They have Mass Live. They're not calling you guys up to see what you have to say because they don't want you guys having a platform. So that's our contribution here. And so anybody listening at home, we're going to put in the notes ways to contact them, their social media links. So as always, go to our website, www.theweedout.com. And you can get any information we say on this episode under the show notes. And you can always go to our social media accounts if we have a link tree there with all that relevant information, and we'll definitely get you all the information you're gonna need to get involved and get in contact with the River Valley PSL. So I guess just moving on to the next kind of thing we got coming up. We have an event. Y'all are going to an event on January 13th next week. You're going to head to DC protest the war in Gaza. Can you just share some more information with us? How can people get involved? I mean, I'm not exactly sure who's taking the lead on this one, so I'll let you guys kind of go. Please tell us more about what's happening.
You want to take this one, David?
You can kick it off.
So just for background context, many of the listeners and even you, Spencer, probably are aware. On November 4, there was a massive protest in DC. And there's some conflicting numbers of what the turnout was. I think CNN maybe reported about 4,000. But as someone who was on the ground and in that crowd, I can definitely attest. I'm not the best at math, but that was quite the understatement. I'm guessing around anywhere from like 100K to like 500K plus. It was amazing. And as someone who originally is from like a small suburb in northern Illinois and now lives in Western Mass, to be able to see such a massive come together and show solidarity for the people of Palestine and Gaza, it was like, it left me speechless. And I was like, I felt like I was on the verge of like tears the whole time. If I wasn't so dehydrated, I'm sure I would have shed some. But Yeah, just seeing so many people come from all literally all corners of the nation. I heard that they were comrades that flew from Puerto Rico to make it out that day. And we had folks like flying in from like Texas, California, like Georgia, and being able to like even like bump into these folks and figure out like we're all here. And I rarely met someone who was from the same state as I. So that's just like so amazing to think about how being present and being part of that massive cultural shift regarding the issue of Palestine and the occupation is amazing. And I feel like I'm still processing it because not sure about y'all, but I remember even like back in my college days, like you mentioned Palestine, like people were at your throat. It was, and even touch your sense of, touchier topic back then, and people were less aware of it overall. And I think largely people were not as invested in it because they didn't know to care about it. And again, to see that all the organizing is working to get people engaged. Just talking to my sister earlier this morning, she's someone who, of course, she cares, but to see her at such a high level of engagement, with this ongoing issue really does warm my heart. And I think it's testament to the fact that showing up and showing out, whether it's in your local neighborhood, like your downtown, or if it's, you know, taking a 8-hour bus ride to DC to try and get as many Americans out there for a national march, like all these things have accumulated into really the most amount of people ever in US history being actively engaged and caring about the struggle and the liberation of Palestine. And obviously, 3 months later, we've been organizing and still been on the ground. And next Saturday, or this Saturday, actually, January 13th, there will be another march called in DC. And this time it's being led by the National Muslim American Muslim Task Force for Palestine, excuse me. And a coalition that we're a part of, Answer Coalition, has been kind of pulled in, and we're part of a national effort to get as many people down there for the day to make sure that it is as successful as possible. And we really want to make sure that we send a message that Joe Biden and the government can't ignore. It's the majority of us care about Palestine. And not only do we want a ceasefire, we want to see liberation of Gaza, of Palestine, and none of us consented to literally funding a genocide. So yeah, pass it on to David.
Thanks, comrade. I agree 100,000% that DC on the 4th, November 4th was extremely energizing. And that's one of the biggest reasons I'm super excited to go back. These events, these actions are so transformative when someone is able to witness for the first time how many people agree with their politics and feel that we are all righteously standing on the right side of history. For someone who has never been exposed to that, it's absolutely life-changing and eye-opening to realize not only are you not alone, but you can actively be a part of not just a one-off event, but a sustained and an effective mass movement capable of showing our government what we really want, in contrast to what they're trying to shove down our throat. So that's just so powerful, and being able to kind of be instruments in facilitating hundreds of people having that experience for the first time here from Western Massachusetts. I'm honored to be a part of it, and I'm extremely grateful and proud of everyone who's a part of it with me. And yeah, I'm super excited for the upcoming return to DC. So anyone who hears about it and wants that experience, that is what you would be in for, and I really encourage you to come down with us.
How can people find out how to is there buses? I don't know. Like, you know, what's the logistics of getting from Massachusetts to DC and under, you know, we're recording this on the 8th, so the 13th is like 4 or 5 days out. By the time you may be hearing this, it might be too late. But in general, when actions like this are coming up, how to get organized quick, like, quicker and maybe with a little more planning. Is this being organized through PSL? I guess I'm asking. Or are you just getting the word out about this?
That's a great question. Yeah. So there are a lot of people across the country doing their part in getting buses organized to get as many people down there as possible. And yeah, we are doing our part here in the Valley. The PSL is organizing buses. So we're working with busing companies to get charters that will bring us down there on the midnight before the action. So it would be the midnight of January 12th. And then we would arrive in the morning of January 13th and be able to attend the demonstration, returning at night to come back early morning the next day on the 14th. And yeah, Linnell can share more about like the logistics and all that, but I'll just say that it's very expensive to organize these things, especially to adapt to what's going on and be like, okay, now is a really critical time to organize buses and then kind of drop everything and call these bus companies and make this happen. It costs a lot of money and it's not possible without grassroots sacrifices and grassroots support. So we absolutely need donations from anyone and everyone who has anything to spare. Even if you can't go, you will be helping someone get on that bus because frankly, we won't be able to raise enough to cover it right away. We will have to fundraise. So every dollar will go to subsidizing the cost of a ticket. And Linnell, I'm sure, can share maybe more on that.
Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. I guess I have a first couple of questions. With is there going to be a policy of masking? Because with COVID being at high spread and or even being on the bus, regardless of ability, COVID, et cetera, we want to be safe, and it's not just being safe for COVID. The state doesn't want us to wear masks either, for surveillance points of view. So I just wanted to, like, I'm wondering if there's going to be a policy of that, and if not, I implore everybody anywhere ever, when given the choice, you should wear a mask, and it's not just for COVID. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's cranky Uncle Spencer's corner of the day. Like, the US government wants to see your face for a reason. So please mask up. It's good for a lot of reasons. That's just my personal reach out to the audience, everybody in the world. But I'm just curious if there's a policy of that for events like this.
Yeah, first of all, we definitely need a segment of cranky Uncle Spencer tips down the road. Love that. But yeah, for the last trip we took, we did mandate masks on the bus. We did have a couple of older folks and even people in our party are immunocompromised. So being able to engage in this work in a safer way, obviously the risk is never zero. But yeah, masks will be provided, and we'll be asking folks to mask the entire ride down and up there. So yeah, and if people don't have masks on them, thankfully, thanks to the Western Mass mask block, we do have a number of a mask that we can provide for free. And so people will be taken care of. And yeah, that's it in terms of masking.
Yeah, that's great. And again, even if you find masks uncomfortable, just remember the United States government would prefer you not wear a mask. So there's a twofold reason we must fight for, the ability to wear masks in, like, certain states, cities. I think it's Atlanta and Philadelphia right now. They're banning ski masks or something, or they have banned. So it's like a reason to stop and frisk now. It's like a whole thing. And it's like, it gets fucking cold. Like, what? You're telling people they can't wear a certain piece of clothing? That's fucking crazy. Anyways, so masking, it's good for a lot of reasons. Plus, you don't want to get COVID. COVID sucks. And it seems to be never ending. So yeah, if you got, hey, listen, we have I don't know how familiar you are with the show, but we have a segment called Ghoulery and Tomfoolery at the end. where I usually find some article. Joanne and I go back and forth on it. And it's quite a good segment. So that's the plug for that segment for today. I don't guests that haven't been on before, I don't spring it on them. But if they've been on before and they're familiar with the show, I do Cooler and Tomfoolery. So it requires a hot take and a gut reaction. And it's usually some really dark things. Police corruption things anyways. So anyways, that's me getting off topic, because normally we talk about prison and military abolition, and but we're very focused on getting the word out about other working class issues, and so grateful for people that in their platform they're focusing working class folk, because there is more of us. We ultimately have all the same interests. We just want safety, a roof over our head, food in our belly. Why can't we just figure out a way to like make that happen for everybody? It's not that hard. If we can build nuclear weapons, we can do this. Like, I don't think one is precluded from the other. And anyway, so thank you so much for like organizing this march on Washington, because it is a powerful feeling to get in a group of people that everybody gets along, and you're going to find whole different groups of people. Like, up in Western Mass, I don't see a lot of Hasidic Jews. I lived in Brooklyn for a minute, so like I have had more interaction with them because of that. But like, you're going to run into those types of folk at these kind of protests. It literally, everybody's got some crossover, intersectionality, I guess you'd call it, with the March on Gaza, because some of this stuff is being, these war machines, not only is it being paid with our tax dollars, it's a workers' issue, but like there's prison labor involved. Like, this is all interconnected. The IOF trains with our police, and our police break up workers' rights. They harass Amazon union organizers. They break strikes. So yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like it's so glaringly all connected, and I think we can't look away. And it's because of brave journalists down on the ground. I mean, we got to give our shout out to those people, because they're being targeted too, and it's really unfair. So that's why we need workers focused political parties that think about us, so that way policy doesn't get directed in this way. So kudos to y'all for organizing on that. And I guess just to like pin this whole action coming up on the 13th, going to DC, if you can't make it on the 13th, how can we all get involved with your group and organize? Whether organizing, helping out for, you mentioned donations and dues and all that stuff that's going to be going towards this, because it's an organized party. Excuse me. How can we still get involved with y'all and have that kind of community? How can we do that?
So there's a lot of ways that you can help get people on the bus right now without having gone yourself. Use your social media. I'm sure you probably have multiple social media platforms. Reposting on all of them really helps get the word out. Donating, as you said, as well. But then also, if you're interested in kind of, like I mentioned earlier, being a part of more than a one-off event and more of a sustained effective movement, you can check us out on pslweb.org or on Instagram at River Valley PSL. And if you like what you see, maybe you can check out our party program. You can apply and potentially get involved in more sustainable local work. There's a lot that we can do here and that we want to do in 2024 and beyond. So we definitely need as much power, worker power as possible, so we can build that vision. I'm sure Linnell can say more.
Yeah, just kind of going off what you said about like spreading the word. Also, not to talk like an organizer, but this is a great opportunity to talk to your neighbors, friends, and family about this issue and give them a direct like action, like way to get involved, and like involved in a large group so you don't feel alone or singled out. Because understandably so, that's a lot of when that's like a big part of what makes people feel disempowered. Which again highlights the importance of getting a bunch of people out to these events because it really drives home the fact that, like you said, Spencer, this is not only intersectional, but it's national, it's international. Like you see so many people of different backgrounds. And maybe on the surface level, it seems disconnected, but like everything, you find out one connection and suddenly the spider web just becomes like so scarily known to you and you can't not realize or like recognize how everything comes back to like anti-imperialist work or like abolitionist work. But yeah, like use this as a moment to further agitate and like learn with your community members about this. And yeah, in general, it'd be great if you're interested, if any of this stuff resonates with you. We have a bunch of great comrades in the area and we're always down to talk to people.
David, Linnell, I'm so grateful that you guys came on, and I would love to talk to you guys more in the future about not just this direct action that's happening, going on protest in DC. Remember, right, January 13th, you'll be leaving. Just give those details one more time.
Yeah, so we'll be leaving Amherst. We'll kickstart Amherst, leaving 12 a.m. Technically, depending on if you ask and the way you look at it, it's the night of the 12th or very early morning of the 13th. It's about a 7 8 hour drive, I'd say, depending on traffic. And so we get to DC around 8, 8:30. And that might sound alarming to folks, but the extra time is really nice to decompress and just to be a human before you head right off into an action. And then the march starts at 1 p.m., I believe. And then we board buses again at 8 p.m. and we arrive Sunday morning around 1, 2, I'd say. And then we finally let people be free and hopefully take Monday off and rest as needed.
That's great. Well, again, thank you so much. We'll share all this information in our show notes, and definitely how to get in contact with the River Valley PSL so they can possibly be more ready. And when things pop off and we got to organize and go march, or whether rallying around a political candidate or any sort of political action, any sort of petition campaign, I'm sure there's lots of things y'all do. That's part of organizing. There's multifaceted, and again, organizing, because not everybody can do everything. Like, we can't all be everything to everybody. So some stuff you mentioned that is coming up. So David, please tell us what's coming up for the PSL before we sign off for the day.
Yeah, thanks. We've been really involved in tapping into Westfield State University's student body. There's been surprisingly a lot of interest and activity in Westfield. And that's really important to us because Westfield State historically is not a place where student activism occurs. Just for context, Westfield is most known for their criminal justice program, and now they're starting to promote their nursing program, but mostly they kind of have been leveraging their criminal justice program to market their school, and the general climate is very reactionary, very right wing. There's just a lot of kind of pushback against any pro-liberation movement narratives. It's just like, why should we care about like what's going on halfway across the world? The food in our cafeteria sucks. Like, why isn't someone doing something about that? And it's like, I get that we have problems here, but it's beautiful to see that so many students are waking up to that we can prioritize reinvesting our tax money and solve like half of them. All of these issues, so much of our lack of funding for education, things that we're struggling with and stressed about as students. Student loan debt, for example, can all be resolved if we just managed our taxes in a way that centered the people's needs and wasn't profit chasing, and creating genocide after genocide. So Westfield students have been taking this away, and we've got phone numbers of over 200 students who are in the loop for local actions and want to get more involved. We've had tabling events, three tabling events throughout the semester, this recent semester. And we actually had a walkout as well, coordinated with Smith students. So Smith students and Westfield students actually walked out in solidarity on the same day and held respective protests. So it's been awesome just to kind of get some experience, get some experience going for some of these students who kind of want to be leaders and want to kind of get practice organizing. It's been great for them for that reason. And in the future, we're going to keep on agitating at Westfield. There's interest in a student group, maybe potentially a SJP chapter, Students for Justice for Palestine. So it would be awesome to get another SJP in the mix organizing here in Western Mass. That would be huge. Can't say any names, but there's already professors who have expressed support, and one who has already took the lead on potentially being an advisor. So there's some real tangible progress being made at Westfield in organizing students. And I'm really excited about that, among other things we have planned for the Valley.
So I can attest. So I graduated high school in 2005, graduated undergrad in 2009, and I grew up with a bunch of people that grew up to be cops in my home city area. I grew up in Quincy, and they all went to fucking Westfield State. And they had no interest in, they just hopped in the pike. They went out there, they did their time. They went, how many, I don't know if it was a 2-year degree or a 4-year degree. And then they'd go to the, police academy. And that's what, I know so many guys that did that. And I went to UMass, and when nobody ever fucked around with the Westfield State kids. Like, so what happened, I guess, is my question. Why did it go from, in 15 years, what, like, do you have an explanation for that, like how that switched?
I think part of it is what's obvious to us kind of on the outside, which is that this is a movement right now. This is a mass movement, and people are seeing evidence on their timelines that they can't look away from. They're scrolling and they're just trying to escape, and they're not allowed to escape anymore. And I think that mixed with the work that's been done to get people aware that there's people out there who agree with them and want to organize with them has been enough to kind of get it started. So me, like personally, I did a lot of aggressive flyering on Westfield State campus, and I had a lot of long conversations with a lot of students. And I mean, we ultimately there were probably a couple dozen like strong student leaders, but I talked to like dozens of more students who are kind of in the orbit of getting more involved, but just reluctant. So we're seeing that people are becoming more brave, slowly but surely. And with like my labor of kind of pulling people in and additional labor of other comrades who will continue to join this fight, we'll continue pulling people in and empowering people to use their voice. And I'm sure it'll only get up from here.
Well, that's wonderful. And please, hopefully, get the word out about the weed out on campus. Maybe we'll catch fire over there.
100%.
I'm heartened to hear they're focusing on another program other than their criminal justice program. Hopefully, they're seeing this that well is going to dry up soon. Hopefully, the younger kids don't want to be cops. Like, that's my goal, is to make it so unappealing, because it should be unappealing. So remember, kids, don't let your friends screw up to be class traitors. Just don't let them do it. It's not good. They will end up hating themselves. It's a big bad thing for everybody involved. Anyways, thank you so much for telling us about all this stuff. We're gonna get the word out, and I wish you guys luck next week. And you know, hopefully we can help get some more people to help support. And you know, everybody, please be safe, mask up, not just for COVID. And you know, just do the right thing, you know. So again, David, Linnell, thank you so much, and we look forward to hearing from you guys soon.
Thanks again. And always thank you for both of your works. And again, always a pleasure and looking forward to the next time we talk.
Well, thank you very much to everybody from River Valley PSL. Thank you to David and Linnell. Very much. It's great to talk to local organizers and get the information out and talk to them about their movements. Not every movement's for everybody, but maybe we can get you connected with a movement that you would feel comfortable with. Organizing, organizing, organizing in any way you can. Together, there's more of us. So let's always take care of ourselves and take care of each other and spread the word. Tell people about this episode. Please, our social media, go to our website, www.theweedout.com. And if you want to drop us a line about anything, networking, tip, anything, reach us at theweedout@gmail.com. Thank you so much. And no ghoulery and tomfoolery this week. I guess I can leave you with this. They found a pauper's grave behind a prison in Mississippi with 250 corpses. So yeah, that's going on. Maybe we'll talk about this more next week. But without Joanna here, I don't think I can do ghoulery and tomfoolery justice. Just keep weeding out the nonsense. Thanks, everybody.